Turn with me to Daniel chapter 2. Want to just share some kind of reflections, musings, if you will. I'm not going to give you 3 points in a poem tonight, but this week I was called and asked if I would be willing to come and to give the invocation on Monday. And like I said, it's a fairly big, significant day as a new governor, Eric Holcomb, will be sworn in, and those officials that were elected. The senators and representatives, I think, have already been sworn in, but the rest of those who are elected. So it's an honor and a privilege to be there for that on that day and to give that invocation. And then in some conversations with our representative, he encouraged me. He said, now, I want to prepare you. He said, don't take an offense. He said, at the prayer time, he said, he used the term Democrats. Now, I don't know if it's every last one or, but he said they will stand outside and not be in their chairs while you pray. And he said, it has nothing to do with you, so please don't be offended. They do not accept that a prayer is delivered. And I was just, I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. And so I was encouraged, you know, be careful what you say and kind of how the words you use and so on and so forth, which I think wisdom would say be wise in what's being said. But the very fact that any prayer, no matter how it's delivered, is going to be rejected. And that stuck in my spirit, that no wonder we can be under the judgment of God when any acknowledgement of God is offensive. And it just bothered me that no matter how you define God, no matter just the very fact that God would be acknowledged would cause those to stand apart, and after that is done, they will sit down. And so that's rolled around within me ever since that was mentioned. And so I was thinking about what I will pray, what I will speak first to God, and then to the ears of those who may hear. And so my mind has kept going to the book of Daniel. And I think the theme, or the heart of Daniel, is that the Most High God rules and reigns over the affairs of men. And a particular individual had to learn that the hard way, being Nebuchadnezzar. And so I wanted to just kind of remind us of some of those stories, and I've already begun to try to write down some of the prayer. I don't normally write my prayers, but I think there is a place and a time for being precise in what's being said. And so I have drawn many of the phrases from the book of Daniel. I'm going to pray scripture, pray some of the words of Nebuchadnezzar, pray some of the words of Daniel that they recognized and we ought to recognize. And so Daniel chapter 2, we want to primarily go to Daniel chapter 4. Remind you of a very familiar event, but put it in context, make some reflections and comments on it. And so Daniel chapter 2, the context is Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, the dream of the golden statue, and he doesn't understand it. And you know, he's the head of gold, you know the details of the dream. And so he calls all the wise men, and then you know the story. Eventually only Daniel is the one that is able to explain or reveal that. And so in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel speaks, verse 19, then the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. And then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, and Daniel said, let the name of God be blessed forever and ever, for wisdom and power belong to him. That's a phrase that verse I've already extracted and plan on putting in. Daniel acknowledged it. We need to acknowledge it. It is he who changes the times and the seasons or the epochs. He removes kings and establishes kings. And I've already included that verse as well. Because as we prepare to swear in a new governor, we're thankful, but it is God who establishes kings and leaders and governors. He gives wisdom to wise men and knowledge to men of understanding. It is he who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. To you, O God of my fathers, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Even now you have made known to me what we requested of you, for you made known to us the king's matter. And so Daniel, in these early chapters, chapter 1 is, it applies no matter where he is, meaning if he's in Babylon or back in Israel. And then chapter 2 is this introduction of the theme that he removes kings and establishes kings, and he rules over all. And flip over to chapter 4, and I want to, we've taught through Daniel before, we've been through that as a congregation, but I want to remind you of, and so then Daniel chapter 2 is the golden statue, and you know then the three Hebrew children wouldn't bow down to that, chapter 3, and then you have the fiery furnace, and then and let's actually maybe pick up at the end of chapter 3. Nebuchadnezzar responded, this is after the friends are protected. Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who put their trust in him, violating the king's command, and yielded up their bodies so as to not serve or worship any god except their own. I just want to remind you one of the key thoughts of chapter 3 was, you know, of course they're not going to bow down, but look back at verse 15 when Nebuchadnezzar makes the statement. He asks a statement, which is kind of indirectly a question, but he says, what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Okay, I'm Nebuchadnezzar. You won't bow down. What God is there who's able to deliver you? Well, okay, let's explain that. Okay, and so finally, at the end of chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges it. Verse 20, and therefore, 29, I make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way. Then the king caused Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. Okay? So Nebuchadnezzar is not yet repentant, but he is acknowledging that there is a God that nobody can deliver like this guy. I've never seen a God deliver like that. But then we get to chapter 4, and chapter 4 is the story of Nebuchadnezzar being humbled and for 7 years going out like an animal. But it's interesting and oftentimes overlooked how chapter 4 starts. Okay? Chapter 4 was written after the fact. It's a record of events, but it's under the declaration of Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar wants this and decrees that this be written down. Okay, look at verse 1 of chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, to all the peoples, nations, and men of every language that live in all the earth. Okay, so this is a word under the inspiration of God, okay, and recorded, but it's from Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's making announcement. May your peace abound. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and the wonders which the Most High God has done for me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Okay. So what follows in chapter 4 is a declaration that Nebuchadnezzar wanted everybody to know. And the story is Nebuchadnezzar being humbled. The vision, we'll go ahead and take the time just to read it to remind you, and then I want to make some comments of it, but I want to put it in that context that this is Nebuchadnezzar's announcement. Nebuchadnezzar had to learn, and he wants to make sure other people learn the lesson. Okay, look with me at chapter 4. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at ease in my house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream, and it made me fearful. And these fantasies as I lay on my bed and the visions of my mind kept alarming me. Verse 6. So I gave orders to bring into my presence all the wise men of Babylon, that they might make known to me the interpretation of the dream. Verse 7. Then the magicians, the conjurers, the Chaldeans, and the diviners came in, and I related the dream to them, but they could not make its interpretation known to me. But finally, Daniel came in before me, whose name is Belteshazzar, which means protect his life, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. I related the dream to him, saying, O Belteshazzar, chief of the magicians, since I know that a spirit of the holy gods is in you and no mystery baffles you, tell me the visions of my dream which I have seen along with its interpretation. Now these were the visions which I, in my mind, as I lay on my bed, I was looking, and behold, there was a tree in the midst of the earth, and its height was great. The tree grew large and became strong, and its height reached the sky. It was visible to the end of the whole earth. Its foliage was beautiful, its fruit abundant, and it was for food for all. The beasts of the field found shade under it, and the birds of the sky dwelt in its branches, and all living creatures fed themselves from it. I was looking in the visions in my mind as I lay in my bed, and behold, an angelic watcher, a holy one, had descended from heaven. And he shouted out, and he spoke as follows, "Chop down the tree and cut off its branches. Strip off its foliage and scatter its fruit. Let the beasts flee from under it and the birds from its branches. Yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze around it in the new grass of the field, and let them be drenched with the dew of heaven, and let him share with the beasts in the grass of the earth. Let his mind be changed from that of a man, and let a beast's mind be given to him, and let 7 periods of time pass over him. This sentence is by decree of the angelic watchers, and the decision is a command of the holy ones." Then look at key. "In order," this is a purpose, "that the living may know that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whom he wishes, and he sets over it the lowliest of men. This is the dream which I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now you, Belteshazzar, tell me its interpretation. It is, inasmuch as none of the wise men of my kingdom are able to make known to me the interpretation, but you are able, for a spirit of the holy gods is in you." Then Daniel, whose name is Belteshazzar, was appalled for a while as his thoughts alarmed him. The king responded and said, "Belteshazzar, do not let the dream or its interpretation alarm you." Belteshazzar replied, "My lord, if only the dream applied to those who hate you and its interpretation to your adversaries. The tree that you saw, which became large and grew strong, whose height reached the sky and was visible to all the earth, and whose foliage was beautiful and its fruit in abundance, and which was food for all, under which the beasts of the field dwelt, and whose branches the birds of the sky lodged, it is you, O king. For you have become great and grown strong, and your majesty has become great and reached the sky, and your dominion to the end of the earth. In that the king saw an angelic watcher, a holy one, descending down from heaven and saying, 'Chop down the tree and destroy it, yet leave the stump with its roots in the ground, but with a band of iron and bronze in the new grass of the field, and let him be drenched with the dew of heaven, let him share with the beasts of the field until 7 periods of time pass over.' This is the interpretation, O king. This is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord, the king, that you be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place be with the beasts of the field, that you be given grass to eat like cattle, and be drenched with the dew of heaven, and 7 periods of time will pass over you, until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whomever he wishes. verse 27. Therefore, O King, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness, and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. All this happened to Nebuchadnezzar the king. 12 months later, he was walking on the roof of the royal palace of Babylon. The king reflected and says, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself has built as a royal residency by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" And while the word was in the king's mouth, a voice came from heaven saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is declared, sovereignty has been removed from you, and you will be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling place will be with the beasts of the field. You will be given grass to eat like cattle, and 7 periods of time will pass over you to until you recognize that the Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind, and he bestows it on whomever he wishes." Immediately, the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. But at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes towards heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are counted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" At that time, my reason returned to me, and my majesty and my splendor restored to me for the glory of my kingdom, and my counselors and my nobles began seeking me out, so I was reestablished in my sovereignty, and surpassing greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, exalt, and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are true and his ways are just, and he is able to humble those who walk in pride. As I said, as I've been reflecting on the privilege to deliver the invocation, the privilege to pray, and in preparation for those who stiff the idea and the action of a prayer, as I said, my mind has kept going to these chapters, that it is our responsibility to acknowledge the sovereign God of heaven who rules and reigns over the affairs of men. And it's he who gives wisdom. It is he who establishes and tears down. And it is our response that we should walk humbly, acknowledging that. And so I've already begun to extract some phrases, some verses from these two chapters, particularly chapter 2 and chapter 4. And I want to just ask that you would pray, because I think this is a message that still needs to be delivered. It's still, Nebuchadnezzar had to learn it the hard way. I pray that myself, I pray for our state, for our leaders, that we don't have to learn it the hard way, that we just acknowledge humbly that God rules and reigns, and he expects of us that we walk in humility and that we seek righteousness, we seek the good of the poor and of the needy, And so that's what he asked Nebuchadnezzar, to turn from his harsh, wicked ways and to show mercy and justice unto there. And so I want to ask that you would just pray for me. And a couple people came up to me after this morning and said, you know, I really think it would be appropriate that we spend some time in prayer tonight over this. So in just a few minutes, I would like us to just divide up and pray. So I not only represent the Lord, I represent our church as such. And so pray that God would fill me with his Spirit and give me the words to speak, and pray that he might open the ears of whatever party somebody's affiliated with. That's irrelevant. That they might acknowledge God and his sovereign rule. Any thoughts, comments, questions, things that you might have, observations? I think, did somebody have? Dan? Exactly. You have to acknowledge you're accountable if there's somebody beyond us. Okay, good. Another just note, if you flip back to Daniel chapter 2, the book of Daniel is constructed in a certain way that starting in chapter 2, verse 4, the original in chapter 1 and the first few verses of chapter 2 are written in Hebrew, and then it intentionally switches to Aramaic, which is a cognate related to Hebrew, but it is different. And so Aramaic was the common language of in the Babylonian Empire. And so chapter 2, verse 4 through, I forget the exact closing point, I'd have to look it up, but up until about the last chapter or so in the book of Daniel, then it goes back to Hebrew. And so this is written specifically for a broader audience. Does that make sense? Okay, so you may not speak a certain language, but suddenly it was written there, it's like, okay, we want to write this in Spanish because we want to expand the audience. And so if you look at chapter 2, verse 4, then the Chaldeans spoke to the king in Aramaic. O king, live forever. And then the section that we read just a little while ago, all that is in Aramaic. So it was written for more people to get it. And so that's intentional. I just say that God wanted a lot of people to hear what Nebuchadnezzar was having to say, and that Nebuchadnezzar did as well. So I just want to encourage us to just pray for our leaders. 1 Timothy tells us that we should pray for all those who are in authority over us. And so pray. I appreciate prayers for me. Pray for the exact words that God would have me to speak and to pray. Pray for tomorrow, that our interactions with whoever that may be, I don't know who all will meet and be a part of that, that it might be filled with grace and filled with truth. And so I'm thankful for the honor and the privilege, and I just pray that God would use it somehow. So let's just divide up in maybe small groups, three, four individuals.